This is a listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas, 91.3 KUAF. And this is Ozarks at Large for Monday, February 4th, 2019. Ahead this hour, Alfredo Rodriguez has recorded 5 CDs, been nominated for 3 Grammy Awards, and he's played with artists from Wynton Marsalis to Bruce Springsteen. Friday night, he'll be on stage at Walton Arts Center with Pedrito Martinez. Robert Ginsburg, host of our Shades of Jazz program heard every Friday night on 91.3, talked with Alfredo, and we'll hear part of that conversation and learn why the soundtrack to Mario Brothers appears on, in unconventional fashion, one of his CDs. That's ahead later this hour. Then after our show, it's NPR's Here and Now, and on today's program, North Carolina's Mandolin Orange, a band that's been on Ozarks at Large, has a brand new album. The duo has haunting harmonies. We'll listen to their music and hear what they have to say about it on Here and Now, this afternoon beginning at 1 on 91.3. And tonight, trumpet, trombone, and piano combine in the Brass and Ivory Trio, who will perform on the University of Arkansas campus. The trio, made up of members of the University of Arkansas Music Faculty, will deliver a free concert tonight at 7:30 in the Stella Boyle Smith Concert Hall. And tonight's performance launches a nearly full week of free music in the Stella Boyle Smith Hall that includes a guitar concert from Asher Perkins Wednesday night and much more. The full lineup can be found at music.uark.edu. Among the 30 recommendations issued by the Arkansas School Safety Commission report, one calls for establishing clear means of communication to ward off danger on public school campuses. As Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, one Northwest Arkansas District School Safety tip line is yielding good results.
Your call is confidential. Please tell us where the incident took place or may take place and the names of anyone involved.
Record your message at the tone. When you are finished, hang up or press pound for more options.
In partnership with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, Bentonville Public Schools a little over a year ago established a confidential tip line for students to report any perceived danger within their ranks. Superintendent Debbie Jones says the hotline has a name.
It is See Something, Say Something. And we have advertised that highly throughout all of our schools. We wanted to capture a way for students or families or the community to communicate directly with us on really anything that concerned them regarding security, regarding a student that they were distressed about. And it has had a really good response and opening up communication lines, and it's evolved.
Joan says when the tip line first launched, a few students prank called at first. Now they take it seriously.
That doesn't occur at all anymore. And what we have found now is parents have opened up. They will hear their, sometimes they will see social media of their own children. If they or their children will tell them of concerns about friends that might be having some social emotional issues, and they will communicate that on the line, and the district is able to get immediate help to those children. So it really is a successful measure, both security and emotionally for our kids.
Public school campuses daily cope with unruly students, but increasingly must monitor for undercurrents of potential school violence. Joan says tip lines can help.
I really do think so, because I know of issues where they have used the tip line to talk about students that had some mental health issues that were a danger to themselves more than anybody else. And so we can get immediate mental health services. And sometimes the parents of those students are not aware, and one I can think of until we communicated that to them. So I do believe it's been of assistance in that area. I can tell you frequently we communicate through the school level with parents to try to keep them involved and abreast of situations when we don't violate student confidentiality. We're always cautious of that. So I feel like we communicate in every way legally possible with them now. Of course, we can always work more, but I think that parents feel like they have an open line, certainly to communicate at the school level, but I feel like there are people at the, if they don't feel comfortable at the school level, they know that we're responsive at the district level as well.
The district counts more than 16,000 students, diverse and from all socioeconomic situations. And according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, children ages 8 to 18 spend on average up to 8 hours per day in front of screens. Some are avid gamers, which often contain violent content. Some play less with others and talk less with families. That isolation, experts say, can lead students to disrupt classroom environments or worse. Conversely, with so many young people inhabiting social media, those places can be a productive place to monitor for threats, Joan says.
With social media, I will tell you that that has been the greatest challenge for all school districts. And students posting things, threats or pictures with guns or just general threats. And that's really a great challenge for school districts. It has made parents aware that they need to communicate those issues should they see social media posts like that immediately so that we can better educate kids about proper use of social media and have real communication so they understand there are severe consequences for that. And it's really sad to be in a position where you're in an expulsion hearing for a student who otherwise has been successful in every way, and they posted a threat to someone on social media, even jokingly, and they're facing maybe criminal charges or expulsion.
Officer Steve Vera is Director of Security and Safety at Bentonville Public Schools.
Well, I mean, I was 33 years in law enforcement, and I was also 16 years as a school resource officer at Bentonville High School. And security in our schools is a very passionate subject for me. And when I started my role as director of security, we began the See Something, Say Something campaign. And with that, we added the confidential tip line because it's so important in opening up communications with our staff. And it's important that our staff get the word out to our students because we all play a role in keeping our schools safe. And it's important from day one for our faculty, for our staff, to talk to all of our students about understanding the importance of listening and paying attention to statements from students, especially the statements that indicate, you know, distress, fear, suicide, revenge, hostility, and for them to know how to report it, when to report it, and who to report it to.
Officer Vera says he monitors the tip line day and night.
I administer that tip line 24/7. I can be at home on a weekend or late at night, and I'll get a voicemail message that tells me a tip line came in, and I'll listen to it and follow up on it immediately by contacting either our administration or that school resource officer, or even the police department for whatever the matter is. But we will definitely follow up on it immediately. And so it's really been important. We've had not only our kids, our students from the schools, but we've also had parents who call in information because they know about the tip line, and information that they get from their children is of concern. And so they call the tip line and give the information to us, and it's helped in many cases.
Bentonville Schools, in collaboration with Bentonville and Centerton Police, also stage random campus patrols, some with canine officers, to promote student safety. A discreet armed presence is just one of 30 recommendations bound in a report delivered in early December to Governor Asa Hutchinson by the Arkansas School Safety Commission. Dr. Cheryl May is director of the University of Arkansas Systems Criminal Justice Institute, headquartered in Little Rock. She chaired the Arkansas School Safety Commission and directs the Arkansas Center for School Safety. May says ways to communicate potential danger on public school campuses are myriad.
There can be anonymous texts that they can send. There can be phone systems within the individual district. There can be online type programs that they can use if a student thinks something is unusual or knows something's going to happen. They can report it, and there are even some places that even have anonymous suggestion boxes where they can just put something on a piece of paper and put it in there. I think the important thing is that there are mechanisms for students to be able to reach out in a wide variety of circumstances.
May says public school culture has changed in recent decades with the rise of school violence, so strict oversight is needed now from students, parents, teachers, staff, and administration.
We never thought about a kid or somebody else coming into a school and shooting students or staff. It was unheard of. But the unfortunate reality is that that does indeed happen today. And unfortunately, it happens a lot more than what any of us can actually comprehend.
The Arkansas Center for School Safety provides education, training resources, and technical assistance to Arkansas educators and law enforcement professionals to provide children with a safe school environment in Arkansas. Visit arsafeschools.com to learn more. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
And if you'd like to share this story with friends or family, or if you'd like to share many other of the stories or interviews you hear on our program, you can do that through links we have available for you at OzarksAtLarge.com. And at KUAF.com, you can also find links to many of the other programs we bring you on 91.3, from the Community Spotlight to shows from NPR like Fresh Air and All Things Considered. Later this month, on the 23rd, Tricycle Farms will host its 6th annual Fayetteville Seed Exchange at Trinity United Methodist Church at the corner of Sycamore and Garland in Fayetteville. The event, which will run from 11 to 2 that day, will include a seed-saving roundtable discussion followed by a tour of the farm. You can bring seeds to share or trade. You can learn more at tricyclefarms.org. And ahead on this Monday edition of our show, Alfredo Rodriguez is a dynamic musician who seeks inspiration from his musical family, his childhood in Cuba, his musical collaborators, and even video games.
There's the more traditional music there as well, but I also love how you turned the theme from Super Mario 3. It's like a funk montuno or something. What is that?
It has a mix between timba, funk, and song in some parts as well.
Alfredo will be on stage at Walton Arts Center Friday night with Pedrito Martinez, who, by the way, has been named Percussionist of the Year 3 times by the Jazz Journalists Association. And before that concert, Alfredo will talk with Robert Ginsburg, host of Shades of Jazz on 91.3. That conversation ahead in just a few minutes on Ozarks at Large.
The Faulkner Performing Arts Center in Fayetteville presents Victor and Penny and the Loose Change Orchestra, February 14th at 7:30 p.m. Featuring vocal harmonies, guitar, and a ukulele, Victor and Penny present high-energy swing-infused folk jazz with joy, humor, and musical improvisation. 575-5387 or faulkner.uark.edu for tickets and information.
Governor Asa Hutchinson continues to advocate for his latest round of tax cuts. The governor calls it the third phase of his 3-part plan to reform Arkansas's tax code. In his latest radio address, Governor Hutchinson says tax cuts are important not just to put money back in the pockets of the people who earn that money, but he says also to attract businesses to relocate from higher tax states.
When a state cuts taxes, of course, that means that our economic growth must continue to absorb these tax cuts. I was determined that our tax cuts would not require us to spend less money on major programs such as prisons, public schools, or the state's health care system.
Governor Hutchinson says the idea is that the state can't spend more money than it takes in, so the 5.9% tax cut must be coupled with his transformation plan to streamline state government. That package of bills proposes to reduce the 42 departments that report to him to 15 consolidated departments. Arkansas is one of only two states that does not give firefighters cancer disability benefits, and Arkansas Democratic Party Chairman Michael John Gray says that needs to change. In the party's most recent radio address, Gray says the state doesn't provide cancer sick leave either.
Right now, our state is asking firefighters to fight cancer at the very same time that they are fighting fires. They have our backs in time of crisis, and it's time for us to do the same for them. There's a bill in the legislature right now, supported by firefighters, that would provide cancer sick leave so that firefighters battling stage 4 cancer won't have to be asked to run into a burning building, but instead will be able to fight for his or her own life.
Gray says a freshman Democratic legislator, Nicole Clowney of Fayetteville, proposed the idea as her first bill, and it is drawing bipartisan support. And speaking of addresses, this reminder that NPR and KUAF will offer live coverage of the president's State of the Union address tomorrow night, followed by the Democratic Party response. The coverage, delayed from the original date because of the partial federal government shutdown, begins at 8 tomorrow night, on 91.3 KUAF.
Where is the Mars 2020 rover going to land? I'm Caitlin Ahrens, the Pluto Manager with the U of A Center for Space and Planetary Science. And this is Scratching the Surface. On a previous episode of Scratching the Surface, I had mentioned three potential landing sites for the Mars 2020 rover, and those were Columbia Hills, Northeast Syrtis Major, and Yezero Crater. And the winner is Yezero Crater. The rover mission is scheduled to launch in July 2020. The main objectives for the rover is to collect rock and soil samples, store them in a cache for future astronauts to retrieve, and seek signs of ancient habitability. Yezero Crater offers geologically rich terrain, with landforms that possibly reach as far back as 3.6 billion years old. Yezero Crater is located on the western edge of Isidis Planitia, a giant impact basin just north of the Martian equator. Martian scientists believe that the 28-mile-wide crater, once home to an ancient river delta, could have collected and preserved ancient organic molecules and other potential signs of microbial life from the water and sediments that flowed into the crater billions of years ago. The geologic diversity that makes Yezero so appealing to Mars 2020 scientists also makes it a challenge for the team's entry, descent, and landing, or EDL, engineers. Along with the massive nearby river delta and small impact craters, the site contains numerous boulders and rocks to the east, and cliffs to the west, and depressions filled with wind-derived ripples and sand that could trap a rover in several locations. So congratulations to Yezero Crater. We can't wait what you have in store for us. For more in the Center for Space and Planetary Science, or for more segments of Scratching the Surface, spacecenter.uark.edu.
Scratching the Surface with Caitlin Ahrens, the Pluto Manager, is a production of KUAF Public Radio.
Alfredo Rodriguez grew up learning about performance. Born in Havana, his family was musical, and his father, a popular singer and TV host. Alfredo's done okay for himself. He began a musical relationship with Quincy Jones after Jones saw Alfredo play at the Montreux Jazz Festival in 2006. And in the time since, there have been 3 Grammy nominations and shared stages with the likes of Wayne Shorter, Herbie Hancock, and the late James Ingram. and 5 CDs. His most recent CD, recorded with percussionist Pedrito Martinez, is titled Duologue, and it was just released last Friday. Both Alfredo and Pedrito will be on stage this Friday, February 8th, at Walton Arts Center. Recently, Robert Ginsberg, host of Shades of Jazz, heard every Friday night at 10 on 91.3, spoke with Alfredo.
Alfredo, you grew up in Cuba, but I know you have a strong connection to the music of North America. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
The music from this country always has attracted me a lot. You know, since I discovered, you know, Thelonious Monk, Keith Jarrett, Lenny Tristano, I've been so much into jazz music and into American music. You know, obviously in Cuba, we didn't have, in my generation, you know, too many possibilities to have everything that was happening in this country, because we are still, even nowadays, we don't have technology in Cuba. So, but at the same time, Cuba and the States have been very close together, you know, in many ways for so long. You know, even before the revolution, people like Nat King Cole or, you know, Dizzy Gillespie, even Quincy went to Cuba before the revolution, he always tells me. And even though we were a little, you know, separated from the whole world in many ways, and obviously this includes music, we found a way to, you know, like to just, you know, check out what was happening in these countries.
I found it interesting that it was in 2009 that you came here. So this is your 10th year anniversary of being in the United
States.
That's
correct. Yeah. January 16th, that was my 10th anniversary. I came here when Obama was, you know, becoming a president of the United States, you know, in 2009.
Yeah.
So at the very beginning, politically with Cuba, you know, always has been very difficult.
You know, music in terms of communicating goes deeper than words. Does that apply to politics as well? Are you able to express your feelings through music that relate to the political situation of the world?
For me, you know, I just believe that every human being is attached to political situation in a way, because we live in countries and we have to, you know, follow rules or not. And I feel like, you know, if your life is affected by just a little bit, your music is affected as well. I think what music has the capacity of is like to translate your life into something, some different language. In my situation, you know, music is my best language in order to communicate with people. So obviously, any situation that I live in my life is going to be part of my, you know, my musical notes, whatever I'm going to improvise, you know, whenever I'm playing, you know, we're gonna do that when we play in your venue. You know, we're gonna play our lives.
Yo soy el punto cubano que en la manigua vivía cuando el mambí se batía con el machete en la mano, con el machete en la mano. Fraternal, viene del cañaveral, representando al mambí, a la tierra de Martí, y a la enseña nacional, y a la enseña nacional. Por eso canto a las flores y a la mañana que inspira, le canto a Cuba querida, la tierra de mis amores, le canto a Cuba querida, la tierra de mis amores.
I have become a musician because I play music every day, and music is my biggest passion. Yeah. I look forward just trying to, you know, to explain people where I'm coming from, what my life is, through musical sounds.
You came into a musical family. Your father was a singer and somewhat of a celebrity, right?
Yeah, my dad is like a big pop star in Cuba. He's like saying in the States, like, you know, like Elvis Presley, someone like that.
Really?
Yeah. He's like, he was in his moment, he was like, you know, 8 years consecutive, the most popular Cuban artist, you know, like, he's like a big pop star in Cuba. The ballad, you know, like ballads, and someone like Paul Anka, you know, like Paul
Anka, yeah.
Someone like that in the States.
Con amores que comienzan, con amores que terminan, con las penas y alegrías de otras gentes como yo, al mundo, a la medida de tus besos. A la medida de la suerte,
So he must have been an influence on you in a big way when you were young.
To be honest, musically, not that much. You know, the way that we like music is something very different. I like music very different than what my dad likes. And that is something that is very important for me to say, because even though sometimes, you know, like musically, it's like that, my dad is my biggest influences. And why? It's because he's my dad, you know, and I've been so influenced by him, again, not just musically, whatever he teach me, and my mom as well. And they are still my best teachers. They influence me in a way that is more important, which is about life. What is your purpose as a human being? What is what you want in your life? And just be disciplined and honest and pure 100% with something that you like and passionate about it.
You were classically trained, and were you focused almost exclusively on classical music? And at some point, did you discover jazz?
At the beginning. Yeah, at the beginning. In Cuba, I don't know if you know, but in Cuba, the only school of music that we have is classical school of music. When it comes to improvisation, when it comes to playing music from other countries, unfortunately, we still don't have anything. You don't go to school to learn jazz. It's unfortunately, because I feel you also have to find your own way, which is something important also. Sometimes when you go to school, they teach everyone the same. And which is, you know, I'm not criticizing schools. It's what it is. You know, you have to teach something. But at the same time, everyone started to sound the same when it comes to improvisation. Yeah, you can listen to anyone. You know, there are many great improvisers in the whole world. But the purpose of this is just to become yourself at some point. People forget to teach that. You have to find your own voice.
You now have 5 CDs, I believe, on Mac Avenue under your leadership. This newest CD is with Pedrito Martinez. And of course, mm-hmm. the two of you will be performing in a duo. The CD is called Duologue. You have performed and recorded with a variety of different ensembles, but your performance mm-hmm. on the new recording with Pedrito places you in this duo setting. Can you tell me a little mm-hmm. bit about Pedrito and the connection that has led to this collaboration?
It's very easy, man. You know, I wanted to be a drummer at the beginning. I didn't want to be a pianist at the beginning. So when I was 7, I told my dad, I just want to go to the school of music, but I want to study percussion. I wanted to be a drummer. And in Cuba, if you go at 7, you have to choose between piano or violin. And if you want to study percussion, you have to go at 10 years old. So I choose piano, having in mind that I was going to change at 10 years old, obviously. I didn't. I fall in love so much with the sound of the piano. But you know, I'm saying this because my passion, my love for percussion has been something that, you know, it hasn't gone down at all. Every day I love it more.
I think that passion you have for rhythm is apparent in the way you play the piano as well.
And that is why also Pedrito brings so much joy for me, because he's a master at percussion. He's one of my favorite. He has been one of my favorite percussionists from Cuba since a long time. And I wanted to do something with him because that is just my passion for listening to someone who is a master at it, so I can get everything. So.
We'll be right back.
working on since the beginning has been like a beautiful collaboration, man.
And your collaboration with Pedrito has led to not only a recording, a duo recording entitled Duologue, it's also led to the tour that is bringing the two of you on the road. The Afro-Cuban bedrock of this music is there, but there's some really interesting influences. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. You cover Michael Jackson's Thriller. It's incredible to think that Quincy Jones, who produced Thriller, is involved in the production of this as well. There's a great symmetry to that. I love it. Mm-hmm. But there's the more traditional music there as well. But I also love how you turned the theme from Super Mario 3. It's what is it? It's like a funk Montuno or something. What is that?
Yeah, it has a mix between timba, funk, and danzón in some parts as well.
Talking about connections, Alfredo, there's a very special and magical connection in the way you and Pedrito weave your talents together. As much as you guys share, you have this common Cuban heritage and the wealth of the musical tradition from the island, but your musical backgrounds are quite different, and it's part of that magic, I think, how you connect the folkloric with the classical, and yet you connect so seamlessly in spite of the differences in your background.
Yeah. Well, as I said, musically, you know, I basically become like a classical pianist, you know, like a classical pianist for a long time. And Pedrito's story is something completely different. You know, he grew up playing music on the streets, learning by ear, learning by, you know, by his family. It's a tradition in Cuba, too, you know, that your family sings at home, your family plays at home, and you just learn from whatever they tell you. So it's very different ways of learning, but we meet at some point because, again, when you have open-minded and you find the people, the right people, it's very easy to collaborate. So we're just looking for that. Oye, guille, yo da lo mío. Oye, guille, yo da lo mío. Oye, guille, yo da lo mío. Oye, guille, yo da lo mío.
Kakasena ma for you, kawadea la bada, inantuto kwela ye. Alfredo Rodriguez will be at the Walton Arts Center with percussionist Pedrito Martinez Friday night at 7:30. Their new CD, released just last week, is titled Duologue. You can find out more about the show at waltonartcenter.org. And if you go to Alfredo's website, alfredomusic.com, you can watch his tiny desk concert recorded recently at the NPR headquarters. He talked with Robert Ginsberg, host of Shades of Jazz. It's heard each weekend on KUAF. You can hear Shades of Jazz Friday nights at 10 here on 91.3, and then Saturdays beginning at 11 a.m. on KUAF3. It's Monday, February 4th, 2019. This is Ozarks at Large. With me, Becca Martin Brown, features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Welcome back.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good.
So I wonder if maybe our readers of What's Up think we're lazy when we do a Q&A. But sometimes if it's an author or a photojournalist,
it's a conversation.
Let them talk.
Yeah.
What absolutely. Am I going to say that they're... So we have a story in yesterday's What's Up with a guy named Tom Clines, who is a National Geographic photojournalist, and he's speaking Thursday at the University of the Ozarks in Clarksville.
And his work's not just been in National Geographic. It's been in a lot of different publications.
He's been in the New York Times and Nature and Newsweek and Scientific American and Popular Science, and he's written two books, Wild Planet and The Boy Who Played with Fusion. It's part of their Walton Arts and Ideas series. It's free. It should be fun. He talked about that he'll be bringing both stories and photos. And he's been to the Central African jungle with eco-mercenaries and the hot zone with Ebola doctors. And, you know, he's had exactly the experience you expect a National Geographic photographer to have. He says he owes it all to his father, who was a hobbyist photographer and gave his old camera to him when he was 14. No surprise there. And he was in his 20s and working on his journalism career and went, hey, I could take pictures too.
Yeah.
Look how that turned out. And he said the most terrifying experience that he's had was reporting on the Ebola epidemic.
I imagine.
In northern Uganda. And he said he could convince himself that the doctors and virus hunters working there knew how to protect themselves, and I'd be safe if I followed their lead. Unfortunately, I would come to discover just how naive my assumptions were. So I assume there's a story in that.
I imagine.
7 o'clock on Thursday at the Rogers Conference Center at University of the Ozarks. It is free, and afterward he'll do a Q&A and chat with students if they're interested in a career as a photojournalist. Also this week, opening today at the Shiloh Museum in Springdale, Instruments of Faith, The Life and Work of Ed Stille.
Yes.
This is the coolest. We need to just get out of this business and let Kelly and Donna Mulholland do it. Because they found these amazing things. Ed Stille lived out at Hogscald Hall, or still does, and he made musical instruments out of, like, found objects.
Yeah, there'd be bed springs in the guitars and things like that, and they play like nothing else.
And he gave them away to kids.
With inscriptions from Scripture on them.
Right. And so Kelly and Donna Mulholland of Still on the Hill kind of discovered him and put together a book that University Press published.
It's gorgeous.
And now they're doing an exhibit at the Shiloh Museum that's going to have 20 of his instruments and some of the x-rays that show what's inside them. And it will be there all year, opening today.
And if you haven't seen it, you know, there was a version of this at Walton Arts Center for a Roots Festival.
And a version at the Old State House Museum.
Whether you've seen it or haven't, it's so worth your time.
And even if we were talking, Laura Hightower, that works with me, and I were talking about her kids who are like eight, little.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'd love it because love music and they'd love to see what's inside.
Oh, yeah.
So I think this is a great thing for kids. And then also this week, on Friday, is the member preview for Men of Steel, Women of Wonder at Crystal Bridges, which is going to be so cool. Valentine's and Killer Chili, produced by the Smokehouse Players, you probably missed the window. I think it's probably sold out by now.
Check, but tickets were limited.
You could email smokehouseplayers@gmail.com and find out. It's Friday and Saturday.
Probably a waiting list, maybe.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Arts Center of the Ozarks is doing Agatha Christie's A Murder is Announced. How can you lose with a good Agatha Christie mystery?
You cannot, unless you're the victim.
Good point. 7:30 Friday and Saturday, and then the next weekend, and 3 o'clock February 10th and 17th. Tickets are $20. Falsettos is at the Walton Arts Center for 2 days only. It's
right.
Before it starts a national tour. That's at 8 o'clock on February 8th and 9th, which is Friday and Saturday. Tickets are $38. Jesus Christ Superstar opens Friday at Arkansas Public Theater in Rogers with the inimitable Michael Myers as Jesus, Justin Stewart as Judas, Alex Kyle as Mary. 8 o'clock Friday and Saturday, 2 o'clock Sunday, and again the next two weekends. Tickets are $28 and $39. And then on Saturday the 9th, they're doing a Makerspace on the Mountain.
Yeah.
At Ozark Folkways in Winslow. And they're going to have classes in weaving and Mexican dessert making and blacksmithing, all of them with different varying fees. It happens from 9 to 4, and you can go to ozarkfolkways.org and see the schedule and figure out what you'd like to do.
We're back in it, right? The holidays are over and everything's happening.
You know, we do a Best Bets calendar that runs the first Sunday of the month, and as I was putting it together to run yesterday, I had to stop and rest two or three times.
Just
so,
to put the
yeah, we're running.
Together. Yeah, all right. Becca Martin Brown, features editor of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
91.3 is supported by Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art, presenting Men of Steel, Women of Wonder, a new exhibition featuring Superman and Wonder Woman as seen by the art world through more than 70 works by a wide range of artists. Opening on February 9th. More information at crystalbridges.org.
Tomorrow on Ozarks, a conversation about engineering and technology through time.
I do read quite a bit of fiction, and one of my favorite series of all time is Isaac Asimov's Foundation series. One of the things that Asimov posits in that series, you have a literally galaxy-spanning empire, and yet they start to fall into ruin because they literally have forgotten how to operate and engineer the very systems that made that empire possible. Because the technology was so specialized and so many people didn't want to go. I mean, it's always been there, will always be there. So I don't want a job in that area. That's very boring. And they lost the ability to maintain what they had.
Kevin Hall, professor in the College of Engineering at the University of Arkansas, gives us a preview of his Honors College signature seminar he'll teach next fall titled Engineering Antiquity. That will cover everything from how did they do that to the ethics of technology and technological advances. He'll present a preview lecture, free and open to the public, about the course next week on the U of A campus. We'll have our own preview tomorrow on Ozarks at Large at noon and 7 on 91.3 KUAF.
You know, mornings can define the rest of your entire day. Find $5 you forgot about in your pocket, it's going to be a good day. Spill your coffee all over yourself, probably going to be a bad one. But when you begin your day with Morning Edition, you start fully awake with the latest and most important news to prepare you for whatever comes next. Take control of your day. Listen to Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition every weekday morning from 5 to 9 on 91.3. Also every weekday morning at 5:30 and 7:30, tune in for more news and information from around our region with Antoinette Grajeda. The Arkansas Razorback women's basketball team is now 5-4 in conference play after yesterday's 8-point loss to number 16 South Carolina in Bud Walton Arena. Arkansas will be at LSU Thursday night. The Arkansas men's team back at Bud Walton tomorrow night, hosting Vanderbilt. This weekend, the Razorbacks hung on to beat number 19 LSU 90-89 in Baton Rouge after letting an 18-point lead evaporate. The men are now 13-8 overall, 4-4 in the SEC. The John Brown University basketball teams will play Pecone tomorrow night in Muskogee. Both teams then back in Siloam Springs Thursday night to play Wayland Baptist. That doubleheader in Bill George Arena starts at 6 Thursday night.
The next games for the University of Arkansas Fort Smith basketball teams, Thursday night against Newman University on the UAFS campus. And the UAFS baseball team is off to a 3-0 start after sweeping Northwest Missouri State this past weekend. Up next for UAFS baseball, a Thursday afternoon game at home against Southern Arkansas. First pitch scheduled for 3 Thursday. The Ouachita and Ozark St. Francis National Forest will be conducting prescribed burns in Arkansas and Oklahoma over the next several months. The National Forest Service issued a statement about the burns, and the service says those burns are initiated to reestablish fire's natural role in the forest ecosystem and improve forest health. The service says it will conduct the burns when conditions mean minimal impact to the public. However, people with smoke sensitivities who are not on the Forest Service's prescribed burn notification list should contact their nearest ranger district to be added. Daily updates on prescribed fires across the forest can also be found online. You can go to fs.usda.gov/Ouachita or fs.usda.gov/OSFNF, or you can just call 888-243-1042.
From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansas Songs.
Love is where you find it. When you find no love at home, and there's nothing cold as ashes after the fire is gone.
Country music has always been fertile territory for duets, especially those pairing male and female stars. Jimmy Rogers and the Carter Family, Porter Wagoner and Dolly Parton, George Jones and Tammy Wynette. There's several such Arkansas-connected duos, from Dale Evans with Roy Rogers and Jim Ed Brown and Helen Cornelius to Johnny Cash with June Carter. But the standard by which they all must be measured is Conway Twitty and Loretta Lynn.
People see us everywhere. They think you really care. But myself I can't deceive. I know it's only make believe.
Conway Twitty was born Harold Jenkins in Friars Point in West Mississippi, but grew up and became a musician across the Mississippi River in Helena and Phillips County. Since his dad operated the river ferry between the two towns, it surely wasn't a jarring change. Helena was a vibrant port city on the Mississippi River and fertile ground for musicians. Players of every stripe were born or would gather there, but Helena and its sister city, West Helena, were especially prominent for blues music. From this mix, Conway Twitty rose to regional acclaim as a performer. As rockabilly and then rock and roll came into prominence, he was at the fore, especially with his international mega hit, It's Only Make Believe, heard here. Harold Jenkins crafted his stage name Conway from the Faulkner County town of the same name. Conway is also the hometown of Jack Nance, who wrote the song and played in Conway's band. Few could have predicted in the 1950s that where Conway Twitty would establish himself would be in country music. Conway Twitty and Loretta Lynn first started harmonizing together while on tour in Europe. Their first recordings were in 1970. Both artists had firmly established themselves the previous year with their respective signature hits, Hello Darlin' and Coal Miner's Daughter. Loretta Lynn, always a brilliant songwriter, brought the duet heard here to the table, Don't Tell Me You're Sorry, I Know How Sorry You Are.
I'm sorry that you think I'm drunk, I ain't had a drink today. Would you believe I held her just to see how much she'd weigh?
That cheating look that's on your face, lit up like a star. So don't tell me you're sorry, 'cause I know how sorry you are. Don't tell me you're sorry.
Hello?
Hello, Loretta.
Darling, I knew it was you.
Loretta, there's something I've just got to tell you.
Oh, please.
Meanwhile, Conway Twitty wrote the Conway and Loretta duet heard here, As Soon As I Hang Up the Phone. It hit number one in 1974. The pair's vocals were so convincing that some fans believe the two are actually a couple, and breakup songs such as this brought them great concern. Twitty and Lynn dominated the Country Music Association's Vocal Duet of the Year Award from 1972 to 1975, but they were just getting started. The pairing of Conway and Loretta had 5 number one hits and 14 top 10 hits and a dozen hit country albums. The two would continue to chart duets through the second half of the 1970s and into the 1980s. Here in its entirety is Loretta Lynn with Conway Twitty of Helena and Phillips County with Louisiana Woman, Mississippi Man, their number one hit from 1973.
Mississippi Man,
we get together every time we can. And Mississippi River can't keep us apart. There's too much love in this Mississippi heart.
Too much love in this Louisiana heart.
See the alligator all awaiting nearby. Sooner or later they know I'm gonna try. When she waved from the bank, don't you know I know it's a goodbye fishing line. See you while I go. With a Louisiana woman waiting on the other side, the Mississippi River don't look so wide. Louisiana woman,
Mississippi man,
we get together every time we can. The Mississippi River can't keep us apart. There's too much love in this Mississippi heart.
Too much love in this Louisiana heart. Well, I thought I'd been left, but I never had, till I was wrapped in the arms of a Mississippi man. When he holds me close, feels almost like another hurricane just to rip the coast. If you can't come to me, I'm gonna go to him. That Mississippi River, Lord, I'm gonna swim.
Hey, Louisiana woman,
Mississippi man,
we get together every time we can. The Mississippi River can't keep us apart. There's too much love in this Mississippi heart.
Too much love in this Louisiana heart.
Well, the Mississippi River, Lord, it's 1 mile wide, and I'm gonna get me to the other side.
Mississippi man, I'm losing my mind, gotta have your lovin' one more time.
I'm gonna jump in the river, and here I go. Too bad, alligator, you swim too slow. Hey, Louisiana woman,
Mississippi man,
we'll get together every time we can. Mississippi River can't keep us apart. There's too much love in this Mississippi heart.
Too much love in this Louisiana heart.
Oh, there's too much love in this Mississippi heart.
Too much love in this Louisiana heart.
Hey. There's too much love in this Mississippi heart.
Too much love in this Louisiana heart.
There's too much love in this Mississippi heart.
Too much love.
Louisiana Woman, Mississippi Man by Loretta Lynn with Conway Twitty of Helena and Phillips County. It's another song of Arkansas. From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansongs.
Arkansongs is a production of FM 89 and Experiment Station Studios. Associate producer is Carrie DeVore. For more information or to subscribe to the podcast, visit arkansongs.org.
And contributors to this first Monday in February edition of Ozarks at Large included Jacqueline Froelich, Robert Ginsburg, who hosts Shades of Jazz every Friday night at 10 on KUAF. Also, big thanks to Timothy Dennis, who mastered our show today, as he does most days. Becca Martin-Brown was with us. She is with the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. That's where she's the entertainment editor. And she'll be back with us Friday for a preview of the upcoming weekend. Scratching the Surface with Caitlin Ahrens, the Pluto manager, is produced by Pete Hartman inside the Nancy Blair Operations Studio at KUAF. Thanks again to the folks who put Arkansongs together for us, and additional content for this version of Ozarks at Large provided by KUAR Public Radio in Little Rock and Central Arkansas. Our theme is written and performed by Daryl Sean. Daryl is often playing live on his Instagram and Facebook page. It's free to join him there. We will be back tomorrow at noon and 7 with another edition of Ozarks at Large. And don't forget, if you can't be with us at noon or 7 for the most recent or current edition of Ozarks at Large, you can subscribe to our podcast, which provides you with daily editions of the show. Podcasts absolutely free and available through services like iTunes and Stitcher. A listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas, this is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Mountainburg. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks for listening. Back tomorrow.